Welcome. Well, you're at home with Jim and Joy, and you are an important part of our EWTN family, and we are delighted that you've welcomed us into your home. We would love to hear from you, so send us your email or your question to jimandjoy@ewtn.com. Well, today we are very excited to have Father Ben Cameron with us. He is a missionary priest with the Fathers of Mercy, and he has been involved in healing after abortion ministry with Rachel's Vineyard Retreat since 2004, and he's authored a very beautiful book called Healing the Deepest Wounds, A Pastoral Guide to Abortion Trauma and Grief. And this beautiful book is available at EWTNRC.com. And in the Catholic Church, in the month of October, is Pro-Life Month.
That's right.
And so one of the beautiful things that we are doing is having some pro-life people in to kind of enrich us and enhance us. And I would like to say to all the pregnancy help centers that are out there, Healing the Deepest Wounds is a great resource for you. If you're working with clients that are post-abortive or thinking about having an abortion, I would suggest that you purchase this book for all of your staff and read it, and so that they would be enriched. That, you know, we always want to make sure, Lord, where any place where we are blind, open our eyes. Any way that we are deaf, open our ears. Lord, any place where our minds are dark, enlighten them and cleanse them. And Lord, where our hearts are hard. Can you have a hard heart being in the pro-life movement? You can. And we need to be healed. We need to be the best version of us. And this book is a beautiful company to you.
Well, it's a short book, it's concise, and it's powerful. And it's meant for all of us in the church to better accompany people that have experienced abortion, help facilitate abortion, like you said, in the pregnancy medical centers, helping people to understand that are working in those places, the condition, these people that are coming in, mm-hmm. and those who've had abortion. So Father Ben has done us a great service with Healing the Deepest Wounds. So we'll be right back. Very special At Home with Jim and Joy. Please don't go away.
Welcome back. We're all excited to have with us Father Ben Cameron. He's a missionary priest with the Fathers of Mercy. He's with Father Casey and Father Wade. And he has been involved in healing after abortion ministry with Rachel's Vineyard Retreats since 2004. And he is the author of a beautiful book called Healing the Deepest Wounds, A Pastoral Guide to Abortion Trauma and Grief. And this great book is available at EWTNRC.com. Well, Father, we are blessed to have you today, and we love your book, and, you know, we're kindred spirits in just trying to do what we do well for God's glory and healing. But first, tell our family a little bit about Father Ben, and then how you got involved with healing after abortion.
Well, I grew up in Indiana, a town called Kokomo, Indiana, and went to Christendom College in Virginia. And I used to go out every Saturday with our Shield of Roses group to pray outside abortion clinics. And I had no idea what people are going through that leads them to the abortion decision. So after I became a priest with the Fathers of Mercy, just started doing a lot of women's retreats and then with missions, and just kept seeing a lot of depth of grief, depth of pain, and knowing that I didn't have all the tools I needed to help them. And I did something very unusual. I called the Rachel's Vineyard hotline, and first time they ever had a priest call the hotline, I think. But I asked if I could observe one of the retreats, and they said, no, but you could make one. Mm. because they said nobody observes a Rachel's Vineyard retreat. You have to make it.
Yeah. And
so I flew to Philadelphia and I made a retreat, and it was amazing. Mm-hmm. And I just came back and talked to my superior and our local bishop and said, can we get this started? Mm-hmm. And so it's 20 years ago this month, actually, that I made my retreat. Mm-hmm. And it's had a tremendous impact on me, my priesthood, just understanding much more grief and the pain that people have. And it's made me a lot more compassionate. Mm-hmm. And then every time I work a Rachel's Vineyard retreat, and I've worked at close to 20, I think, mm-hmm. over the years, I just get to see miracles happen. Because mm-hmm. God's power to heal is so, you can't wrap your mind around how much God can heal. And He doesn't need a long period of time to do it either. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, that kind of led me to, how do I help get this to more people? How do I help more priests understand what's going on? Because I think a lot of times people, they show up and they don't, the priests don't know what to say, you know, and people in the church office, they don't know what to say. And so that's kind of what led me to mm-hmm. feel the call to write a book.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure Beautiful. There's a number of streams that make this book, you know, an important work, a wonderful work. You've said a couple of things thus far, at least two streams. You know, I was a dedicated, committed, unapologetic mm-hmm. pro-lifer, mm-hmm. but I'm not sure I was an informed, compassionate pro-lifer because I had no idea what these women were doing here, their condition at that point, the despair that they're in, and then after abortion had really not a clue about what's happening experientially for them. Mm-hmm. Right. Had I known that, I would have spoken more holistically, not compromising anything pro-life, uncompromisingly, unapologetically, but more compassionately, mm-hmm. more informed. So that's a key thing that you've said at the outset,
right.
which we all need, and that your book can help with. So it's like, well, why should I read this? I haven't had an abortion. Or I didn't even support, you know, the abortion that took place. Why do I need this? Because so many of us are where you were,
right.
in terms of we're not going to compromise anything. We're going to say it. We're going to put it out there. But do you know the condition mm-hmm. of this person that they're in, that they're at this place right now or after an abortion? How do we minister? How would Christ minister the shepherd's heart?
Yeah. Right. And when you think in our country, we've had 60 million abortions, roughly, probably yeah. more than that. And that means that one out of every three or four women in our country has had an abortion. And one out of every four or so men has been involved in an abortion decision. We have a tremendous amount of woundedness. As a bishop friend of mine says, we have an ocean of wounded people mm-hmm. in our country. And that's just not just in America. That's throughout the Western world. And all these people are carrying this wound in different ways. And some, maybe not as much as others. Maybe some of them didn't really have any consciousness of exactly what they were doing. Some people may have really strong walls put up within their conscience, within their mind, to protect them still, but they're still affected by it. And that's just those who are directly involved with abortion. Mm-hmm. But a lot of people were indirectly involved with an abortion. Their grandchild was aborted. Their nephew or niece was aborted. They may not know if it was a nephew or a niece, but their sibling had an abortion or was involved in one. Some people grow up and find out that their parent had an abortion, and they can have survivor's guilt. Mm-hmm. How is it I'm alive and one or more of my siblings is not? And so there's a tremendous amount of woundedness in our society, and when people come to understand that, or when the wall breaks down,
yeah.
because you know the mind puts up walls to protect itself from, you know, tremendous pain and from trauma. And when that wall comes tumbling down, and it will at some point, then people need help. And they may be in deep grief. They may be in this grief that is forbidden. Teresa Burke talks about forbidden grief because a lot of people are like, why are you grieving? You made this decision. You know, you made your bed, sleep in it. You know, and even people who are pro-choice, quote unquote, will say that. Why are you grieving? You know, it was your choice, and But when that wall finally comes down and people need help, who are they going to turn to? They don't go back to Planned Parenthood for help. Mm-hmm. They, if they turn to anybody, they're going to turn to somebody who is pro-life, somebody who has shown compassion. And so that's, I wanted priests and deacons and lay ministers and people working in church offices and pro-life ministries to have a better understanding of what the wound is and how do we show compassion? How do we reach with the compassionate heart of Christ to those who have these deep wounds and help them along that journey back to wholeness? Because ultimately that's what our Lord wants. He wants to restore us to a place of wholeness. And some people have never experienced wholeness. Mm-hmm. Some people have experienced so much brokenness from an early age that they don't even know what it is to be healthy.
Right.
But Christ can bring health. Mm-hmm. But he doesn't usually do it directly without other humans being involved.
Right.
You know, he can, but we're called to be his eyes and his ears and his heart and his hands, and to show his compassion and how we meet the people who are hurting, and to walk with them in that journey of healing, and to point out the different elements of what needs to happen for complete healing.
Right. Well, you think of the statistics, you know, 1 in 3 or 1 in 4 women, they're in the church and they're out of the church,
right?
So that's a whole culture that is wounded. And the last thing, you know, when a woman is struggling with the decision, whether or not I'm going to parent this child, whether I'm going to place the baby up for adoption or I'm going to have an abortion, the culture's screaming to her, it's going to solve all your problems.
Right.
Just have the abortion. It's going to be okay. You'll be fine. But like after the abortion, what happens to that woman? So let's say she makes that life choice. There are a lot of people involved, the boyfriend who maybe took her, the parents who are pressuring to have an abortion. They all become an accomplice,
right?
And so in her healing, as she goes forward, there's a lot of people that she has to forgive.
Right.
And because everybody's a part of that, but nobody's talking about it. And so there's that guilt, there's that shame, there's that condemnation, there's that separation. And then there's the devil saying, look what you've done, right? And so the last thing he wants is her free.
Right.
The last thing the devil wants. So he's gonna torment her all the days of her life until someone throws her a lifeline and says, we're here to help, we're here to listen, how can we help? But so many post-abortive men and women don't know that there's healing.
Right.
So we have to, as a church, as a society, as people, get the word out to say, you don't have to suffer.
Right.
Because they suffer in great silence.
The saddest thing I've encountered is when people say, I deserve to suffer.
Right.
And I don't want to get healing because that would some way not, that would deny what I did, that would deny the, that I deserve this, you know. And we all of us are sinners, every single one of us. And every single one of us has got burdens of sin and things that we struggle with. But our Lord doesn't want us to continue in the misery. Mm. You know, I'm a father of mercy, and in Latin it's misericordia, which is that the heart is moved, the cordia is heart. So this movement of the heart, God, his heart moves to us and he wants to bring our hearts in movement back to him. And he shows this deep compassion. You know, compassion is to suffer with someone else. Jesus didn't just suffer on the cross, he suffers in compassion with us, with our suffering. And he wants to bring us out of that and bring us back to a place where we can truly love him and the Father and the Holy Spirit with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength, every fiber of our being. And if we're holding on to that pain, we're holding on to that grief, we're refusing to be healed, then how are we going to really love the way we're called to? You know, so God truly desires our healing. I tell people, he doesn't just want to forgive you the sin. He wants to heal the wound. And he doesn't just want to heal the wound. He wants to make you into a saint. And that's part of what I wrote this book for, is to help people to see that this healing is possible. And even the last chapter of the book, sainthood is possible, that we're actually called to holiness. And God uses people who he has transformed with his grace to bring about the changes that the world needs. And I believe that the end of abortion will come when those who have had abortions, been involved in abortions, are healed and then really embrace their call to holiness.
Right.
That they will then be the undeniable voice that will help to change this culture of death and bring us back to a place of real sanity as a society. But first of all, there has to be that healing. And so there's spiritual healing that people need to seek. And that begins with forgiveness. That begins with coming and making a really good confession. Some people have trouble even getting to the point of going to the confessional. And then maybe the best thing is to just come and spend time with our Eucharistic Lord. Because you sit in the presence of the Lord and you try to open your heart to him and you beg him for what you need. And eventually he'll get you ready for the next step. But I in the book I talked to, you know, for priests and for those who work for the church and pro-life ministry, how do we receive them? You know, how are our hearts as somebody comes to us? I just had met a woman who said that when she made her confession some years ago, she said it was an elderly priest and she'd known him before and she was pouring everything out and sobbing. And she looked up and he looked exactly the same as when she had started. His facial expression had not changed at all. He was just listening and receiving what she had to say, you know, listening with love. And that ultimately is what we have to be able to do, is to receive what people are saying and to hear it with the heart of Christ. That's what we have to do, instead of being like, how could you do that? And, you know, because that doesn't help anybody.
Father, we're going to take a break at this point and hold you over for the final segment.
Okay.
It's Healing the Deepest Wounds. EWTNRC.com. Don't go away. We'll be right back. Plenty more to come. Having a powerful and hopeful conversation with Father Ben Cameron, Healing the Deepest Wounds. Father, as we were going right to the break, you were mentioning about just the power of confession and what confession does. And I also think at the same time, you know, confession does something that nothing else can happen, including Rachel's Vineyard. But Rachel's Vineyard does things, or healing ministry, that confession doesn't do. They go, they accompany one another. Can you speak to that?
They really do. So confession brings about the healing of the relationship with God. But a lot of times people, after they've been to confession, they still, they are not able to forgive themselves, or they're having trouble imagining how could God forgive. And there's other relationships that haven't been healed yet. And so Rachel's Vineyard and other healing ministries were to address those things. So in Rachel's Vineyard, we do have opportunity for people to go to confession.
Yes.
But truthfully, a lot of the people have already been to confession. They know here that they're forgiven. They don't know it here yet. And that's what they need. And so the retreat helps them to process that, helps them to encounter Jesus spiritually, and really to see him as the healer, really see him in his forgiveness, and to be able to accept it.
Yeah.
So it helps bring it from head knowledge to heart knowledge. Mm-hmm. And then that heart knowledge then can help a person begin to have real peace of soul, and then also to begin to reconcile with others, to reconcile or to forgive. Maybe they won't see the person, you know, they may never go and see the abortionist mm-hmm. or the person who pressured them to have abortion 40 years before or whatever, but to forgive that person and to come to that place. But they first have to have that encounter with Jesus. And so that's what the retreat ministry helps to do that.
And if a person isn't Catholic, they can still make the retreats, right?
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, it's not just for Catholics.
Actually, Rachel's Vineyard has two different forms mm-hmm. of the retreat. They have the Catholic form and the interdenominational form. The Catholic form is the more common, it's the original. But we've had a lot of non-Catholics who've come on the Catholic retreat and have flourished with it and done very well. In fact, in our team, which does retreats from Western Kentucky to Northern Alabama, some of our team members are not Catholic. Mm-hmm. And they've gone through the retreat with us and they're helping to minister with us. So anybody is welcome. As long as a person believes in God mm-hmm. And is open to, and particularly if they believe in Christ, they're going to be able to benefit from Rachel's Vineyard.
Father, would you close us out this time with a short prayer and a blessing?
Sure. Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you for bringing all of us together and for all of our listeners. And we ask that you pour out your blessings of healing, especially upon those who are afraid to ask for healing. And we ask this in your holy name and through the intercession of our Holy Mother Mary. May Almighty God bless each and every one of you watching this in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.
Thank you so
thank
much.
Thank you. Thank you, Father.
The presence of the Lord's really moving in this show because Jesus said, I didn't come for the well, I came for the sick. He's come with his merciful heart. He wants to connect with you. Even though you feel like you're a power line that shouldn't be touched because somebody else might die, Jesus took hold of that power line and died for us that we might be forgiven and set free. Mm-hmm. You're never alone. You're an important part of this EWTN family. Keep it on EWTN. Bye now.